Psalm 19 this morning. I'd like you to look down at about verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I got a message this morning that I have entitled, strangely enough, 10 reasons why you can't stop the gospel. 10 reasons why you can't stop the gospel. Believe it or not, verse 14 will be one of those reasons when we come to the end of this sermon. I want to begin by saying to you that it would appear that Christianity is fading fast in the world today by the accounts that we hear on the radio and television, newspapers, magazines, etc., etc., the internet. The increased persecution, if you will, that we're hearing about that's being felt in the world is advancing quickly and may soon be in our own front yards before too long. I know that every day I get posts on Facebook that reminds me of this fact, of the images anyway that I get. There's just a multitude of, and there are pictures of ISIS beheading Christians in the Middle East, and there's pictures and stories of the continual and rampant apostasy of not only Western society, but of denomination after denomination of what were once Christian organizations literally embracing Antichrist. Certainly, when you see these churches that once were paragons of virtue and holiness for the Lord, now ordaining homosexuals and marrying them and everything else and turning a blind eye to the Word of God. And the persecution that will be felt here in America, I believe more and more, will be from the likes of those particular religious people who think we're nothing but old fogies and that if we would shut our mouths, the country would know peace and would run a whole lot better. And we ought to quit being so judgmental. We ought to quit being so critical. And we ought to lay all our doctrines aside, throw them in the trash can, throw the Bible away, and get along with everybody. And if you don't, we'll make sure you suffer the consequences. Already in America, the Bible is considered passé, or at best its contents lacerated beyond recognition as to what the writers had first penned and what God intends. And for a surety, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it nonetheless, for a surety, those who attempt to hold to the authority of Scripture and the inerrancy and infallibility of it are vilified not only by the sham that is the postmodern church, but by even some of our own, believe it or not. And some of our own reformed circles and places like that who believe that because we're King James only, that our abilities are less than intellectual and we're just weak. Well, I'm not giving up my King James Bible anytime soon. Thus, what's left is a confused lot of folks going through the motion of church. What we got is a whole bunch of folks that are laying down for Antichrist. A lot of folks who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and body being killed and persecuted across the landscape of the world. And it looks pretty bad, doesn't it? Except, here's the deal. God's still on His throne. The gospel will go forth. Those whom God has elected unto salvation are going to come to salvation for a certainty. Christ has said that all the Father hath given Him will come to Him. John 6:37. How will they come to Him? Well, the Spirit and the bride will continue to say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And those who are athirst will come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, Revelation 22:17. Those whom God has elected unto salvation will indeed be saved, for the Lord will make them willing in the day of His appearing, Psalm 110:3. for certainty. It is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending of all things, and is the same over salvation entirely. One man so aptly put it, quote, "If God has no plan, we have no reason to believe that all things will work together for our good and His glory." He goes on to say, are we to believe that God just gets real lucky and foresees that everything is simply going to magically turn out okay on its own? He can promise it will be so because He purposed that it will be so. And it will be, unquote. Now, as 19:1 tells us, we ought not to worry about what's going on in the world, because even the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And what does the psalmist say the heavens declare? The psalmist says they declare the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? His Son, Jesus Christ, is the glory of God. He that has come down from the heavens to men is the glory of God. The Word, the great Logos. He that was with God and is God is the glory of God, and has shown His glory, is showing His glory, and will continue to show His glory, and none will be able to stay His hand or ask Him what He's doing. The heavens declare it. They proudly proclaim it. Indeed, all creation, celestial and terrestrial, declare the glory of God. But on close examination of Psalm 19, I'm seeing some things in there that we ought to be made aware of. That the heavens declare is in truth the proclamation of, if you really think about it, the gospel. The glory of God is the gospel, if you will, of Jesus Christ. That He came in the world to save sinners. The shining stars amongst the firmament are those to whom God has given the power of the Holy Ghost to be witnesses of Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I don't know if you can get that picture in your mind, but it has been the men of God that God has chosen and endued with power that are the shining stars across the landscape of history, because they have declared the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a grand thing. Starting in the Old Testament with the prophets, right into the New Testament with the apostles, God has given these shining lights a special ordination to receive His special revelation of Jesus Christ coming. The gospel continues on by a royal visitation. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Verse 5, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Now, the question here is, why is the bridegroom rejoicing as a strong man who has just won a race? Because he has won the victory and claimed his bride. Notice, he comes out of the bridal chamber. This is the morning after his wedding night. He and his bride have consummated their wedding, and he is overjoyed with her love. The Song of Solomon will give you a detailed picture of this in Christ and his church. But here in these verses, Christ has visited and will visit each member of his elect, which is his bride, and consummate his union with them by showing himself as truly their Lord and Savior. He is the strong man. He is the one that has crushed the head of the serpent. Are you hearing me this morning? No wonder he comes out of his chamber and rejoices. He's won the victory. It was won at Calvary. He shows their names graven on his hands. He shows the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. And he raises his hands up and shows the world he has won. And as a result, he takes his beloved under his banner to his banqueting table and communes with them forever. So the gospel cannot be stopped because he has made a royal visitation. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom Pete Sampras is chief. Don't laugh, Robert. You are too. Janice is one too. How many chief of sinners do we have in here? Oh, man, there's always too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Isn't it something? I just knew it. Here's reason number five that you can't stop the gospel. The gospel will have absolute saturation. Now, think about that now. Reason number one, God will continue its grand presentation. God will make sure it goes to every destination. God will indeed has indeed done that by determination. God has sent us a grand visitation of his Son. And now it's going to have, the gospel is going to have a complete and absolute saturation. Look at verse 6. As Christ going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid thereof. Now I've added the word Christ there. And the reason I have, that's what the his is. That's what the his is here. This is Christ. Christ is going forth from the end of the heaven and to the and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Listen, no man will be able to say on that day that they hadn't heard the gospel. Not a one. Here it is plainly that the gospel, that is the presentation of Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and King, has gone forth through time, territory, and target. Let me just say that again, and I'm not talking about Target, the store up here. It has gone through time, territory, and target. That which the Lord has intended to hear the gospel has heard, is hearing, and will hear, no matter where that individual is in the entire earth. And nothing or anyone will be able to hide from the heat. That is the knowledge of it, the conviction brought by it. There's going to be absolute saturation unto the end of the world. Listen, today people may be run all over the place enjoying themselves out here in this nice warm day and not in church. But believe you me, they're not out of reach of the gospel presentation. They may deny it. They may try to hide from it. But I guarantee you when they leave the river this morning to come back home this afternoon, they're going to pass church after church after church. It's going to be a reminder to them that there is a God. Are you hearing me? Remember what I said in Sunday school, God has placed roadblocks on the way to hell? Hey, listen, they'll not be able to deny it. God will say, well, I put 55 churches on the road from the Tennessee River back to your house. I put Bible after Bible in front of you. I put scripture after scripture in front of you from Daryl Lingerfeld's Facebook page, from Pete Sampras' Facebook page. They'll not be able to say we ain't heard. Every time you get on the radio on Sunday morning, you flip through it, and I guarantee it that you'll hit more than one station that will have preaching on it. And I'm talking about some good preaching, not just the old devilish stuff. But everywhere, the gospel is going to have a complete saturation. It'll go everywhere. It'll go everywhere. None will be able to say, I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't hear. None. Zero. Nada. I hear people all the time saying, well, what if they never heard it? Even nature reveals that there's a God. Seek him out. You know that Abraham was down there in Haran on top of a ziggurat, worshiping the moon, the God, the moon and stars and sun is God. God got a hold of him, brought him out of there, and began to show himself to him, explain these things to Abraham, and then one starry night took him out there and said, I'm going to make your seed like the stars that you see in the heavens. And Abraham believed God. The actual word there, believed in God, believed there was a God, believed what God said. And as a result, God counted to him righteousness. If God can take a guy off of a ziggurat, that's like one of those Incan pyramids down there in South America, and bring him to the truth, let me tell you something. No one has an excuse. No one will have excuse. Well, here's reason number six. The gospel will continue because of its absolute exclusion of all other gospels. Let me say that again. The gospel will continue because of its absolute exclusion of all other gospels. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is exclusively true. Only it. Unlike other religions whose salvation can be lost, the true gospel provides complete sanctification. Look at verse number 7 of Psalm 17. The law of the Lord, everybody say it with me, is what? Perfect. What does it do? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and what does it do? Making wise the simple. Just as the stars in heaven provide a continual declaration of the glory of God, the continual salvation of sinners show forth that the glory of the Lord is indeed fact. The law here is not the Ten Commandments, but the facts that are the gospel. The Mosaic law cannot convert a soul. The law will not convert a single soul. But the law of the Lord, which is the gospel, is made effectual to convert the soul through the power of the Holy Ghost. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And so, as a result, what we have here is an exclusive truth, and it disqualifies all other religions, denominations, and such, because, see, there's only one way, one truth, and one life. No man comes to the Father but by Christ. And so if they're pointing another way, they're liars. You cannot go but only through Christ to the Father. Which, and this is reason number 7, the gospel provides definite conviction. Look at verse number 8. The statute of the Lord's are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, that doesn't sound like conviction to some, for most folks see conviction as one having been made broken into a weeping mess. Some folks think that they're not just weeping and screaming, crying out in pain for their sins, that they're not under conviction. Well, I want to tell you that the sinner's already in a mess. He can cry about it if he wants to. And most do when they realize how awful a mess that they are in, especially when the Holy Ghost shows them that mess, that it's a violation of God's holiness, that it's a violation of God's righteousness and His justice. The very true statutes of the Lord, the very facts of the vicarious atoning death of Christ that appeased the Father on their behalf, breaks their heart. But really and truly, what the sinner does when he finds out that there's a relief from the mess in Jesus Christ, what does he do? He rejoices. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You mean there is a way to escape this mess? Do you mean there is a way that I don't have to go to hell? You mean there is a way that I can have eternal life? Yes, through Jesus Christ, God's darling Son. Well, hallelujah, show me to Him. And so there's what we have right there. We have definite conviction of the fact that God's Word is true. Psalm 33:4. Hold your finger there in Psalm 19. Flip forward a few pages, you'll be there. You ought to underline this one. Psalm 33:4. Everybody there? I want you to read it out loud with me. Psalm 33:4. The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. The commandment of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved is pure to those who are lost in their sins. It's pure to the elect. It means I can trust this word. And the knowledge of the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life enlightens the eyes. Oh my goodness, when that elect one sees the truth of Jesus as the way, the truth, and life, his eyes begin to get wide. They brighten up. You mean to tell me I'm not going to have to go to hell if I trust in Him? You mean to tell me that God will forgive me of all the filthy, perverted things I've done if I trust in Him? Yes, He's taken your sins upon Himself. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and then they see the impeccability of Christ, and they say, but I'm such a worthless sinner. I'm a wretch. Yeah, but He's a great Savior. He's a wondrous Savior. And those bright eyes declare the glory of God, don't they? Here's reason number 8 that the gospel will continue. That you can't stop the gospel. Only the true gospel provides guaranteed glorification. Verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Notice the words enduring forever in verse 9 of chapter 19 or Psalm 19. Those who trust in the Lord believe that without a shadow of a doubt that they're going to live forever in glorified bodies. How many of y'all believe that? Changed bodies that are going to be perfect in every way. Free from the condemnation and corruption of this planet. Made suitable to dwell in the very presence of God for eternity. The judgments of the Lord have made that possible as understood from and by the gospel. And those who believe the gospel, believe the facts of it, and trust in Christ to deliver the benefits of it. So it is the gospel that only gives us the facts of and the truth of glorification. We shall be changed in a moment and a twinkling of eye. And those of us who believe that, we continue to sound its praises. And as a result, here is reason number 9 why the gospel will continue until the end of the world. The gospel will continue because of the saints' continual celebration of it. You know what we're doing here today? In truth, what we're doing is we're celebrating the gospel. We're celebrating Christ. Our worship services can be a celebration. It ought to be in humbleness. It ought to be with humility. But it is a celebration nonetheless. Look at verse 10. The gospel, Christ and all that He is more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The saints love the gospel. They declare the glory of God in celebration of Jesus Christ. It's a grand celebration. And the world hates us for it, trying to stop us. They're really trying to stop us, but they won't be able to. The saints can't stop. I mean, the glory of the Lord is their strength, their song, their mantra, their life. You can't stop them. Besides, reason number 10, the gospel has given them preservation. And that's why they keep persevering. The gospel will not be stopped because the saints and their preservation know for a fact that they're going to live forever. And they tell everybody that they are. And so the gospel continues and continues. Look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Here is the preservation of saints and why you persevere the way you do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, that's what the saints do every day. That is, if you're truly a saint. You celebrate the Lord, but you also fear the Lord. And you also love the Lord. And so you don't want to be guilty of ever being so presumptuous that you bring reproach upon the Lord. And so in your striving to live for the Lord before men, you're making a sure presentation of the gospel. That indeed it is the truth. I got a friend of mine that gets real vexed when I say, you know, that folks ought to live out the gospel. He says, you can't live out the gospel. The gospel stands alone. Well, it sure does. But listen to this, folks. How we live out the gospel is live in a way that shows that Christ is Lord of our lives. And you know what? When people, when the elect yet to be saved see us, perchance God will use the means of it and cause a presentation of the gospel to be effectual to that one who's yet to be saved. And so the gospel will not be stopped because of our preservation of the gospel and our perseverance in the gospel, so that men may see Christ and see that Christ indeed came into the world to save sinners. And it's obvious he has, because here are these people still following him. Do you know the Apostle Paul was on a mission to stop the people of that way? You know, Christianity was not called Christianity at the beginning of this thing. They weren't called Christians until it was mentioned or coined at Antioch. They call it that way. We'll not go that way. And Paul had got letters from all the high priests from the Sanhedrin and was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem in an attempt to stop those of that way. We're going to silence that way. They tried to stop Peter, but he kept preaching that way right until the day they stoned him to death. But they didn't stop that way. It continued on. They tried everything. They killed all the apostles. They martyred all the apostles of that way. And the gospel keeps going forward. Nothing had stopped it. I want you to know that those in power here in this country want to stop it. As a matter of fact, one of the candidates said the other day, maybe a couple weeks ago, that Christians are going to have to change their tune. And she said, I want to see that they do. She can't stop the presentation of the gospel. They've already tried to stop prayer. They can't stop prayer. Someone says, well, they took prayer out of schools. No, they didn't. Kids are still praying every time they have a test. Well, it's true. But I want to close with three specific verses. First of all, Psalms 105, verse 8. And this, my friends, sums up the 10 reasons why the gospel cannot be stopped. Why the presentation of Jesus Christ will reach every destination. Psalm 105, verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant. How long, everybody? The word which he commanded to a, what? 1,000 generations. I don't believe we've gone through 1,000 generations yet, do you? Now flip all the way to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. All you got to do is go all the way to the end of your Bible and flip in a few pages, and you'll be at 1 Peter 1, verse 25. When you get there, look up so I know that you're there. I want you to see this. Unless you're Ted. 1 Peter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord does what? Endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now go to 2 Peter 1, 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, folks, listen to me. Just as a closing recap, and I'm going to hurry along because the hour grows late. Remember now, the Lord has provided for a continual presentation, just as the day by day utters speech, the night showeth knowledge, so will the gospel go forth. Reason number two, the gospel will not be stopped because God is determined for it to reach every destination that God has purposed. God has determined, reason number three, that it will. And God also, in making that determination, reason number four, has given us a royal visitation. Christ came to this world to save his people. And believe me, if the Lord took that much effort to save a bunch of wretches like us, you've got to know nothing's going to stop the gospel until he brings them all in. Then reason number five, the reason why the gospel cannot be stopped, is because God has determined that we'll have absolute saturation. And already we're probably there. The Bible has been translated to nearly every language on the earth, maybe two or three left that hasn't been, but it will be. Reason number six, the gospel will continue because of its absolute exclusion of all other gospels. No other gospel is like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Allah requires that you kill somebody. God requires that you love somebody. What a difference. Plus, the true gospel provides complete sanctification. No other religion does that. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect. So you can't stop that. That was reason number six. Reason number seven is the gospel provides definite conviction. This gospel does what it's supposed to do. It brings sinners to a complete understanding of themselves in light of a holy and righteous God. Allah is passive. He don't care what happens to you. He doesn't. They admit that in the Quran. He's not involved with his people. Not at all. The statutes of the Lord, our Lord, are right. They rejoice the heart. And then you have this one. This is the gospel reason number eight that provides guaranteed glorification. This one brings you to heaven. You don't have to kill somebody to get into heaven. You don't have to go through limbo to get into heaven. You don't have to go through purgatory to get into heaven. As a matter of fact, when you trust in the Lord, if you die the next minute, when you're absent from your body, you are immediately present with the Lord. Only this gospel has that. And then we have reason number nine. The saints continually celebrate it. And as long as they keep continually celebrating it, the world is going to see the facts that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then lastly, number 10. The gospel will continue. It cannot be stopped because of its preservation of the saints and their perseverance in it. 10 reasons. And by the way, those just 10. There's a million reasons why you can't stop the gospel. And the greatest one is this. God is sovereign.